Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But the Pacers showing tremendous resilience and resolve after squandering a 24-point lead in the third quarter. The game going into overtime, and then Pascal Siakam with the big three to give them the eventual margin.
You know, and it wasn't our best night. I thought we missed a ton of layups. I thought we had some rebounds with two hands that we didn't get, that we tapped out. So, you know, we just didn't play our best, and Indiana played great. But there's two things, right? You could focus on that, or you could focus on the fact that we just stayed in it.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Joe Mazzulla after the game. Celtics drop their first of the year. They lose it to the Indiana Pacers. Take a victory lap, Andy Hart. You're the only one that had the Pacers as a team for the Celtics to be worried about. You were more worried about them than the Knicks and the Sixers and those type of teams.
We'll see.
You ended up being right, at least so far here in the early going. It's the only team to beat them so far. They almost lost to Detroit, but almost doesn't count. They had a big comeback. They almost came back here against this Indiana team. But again, almost doesn't matter. Only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, and that is not what they were doing last night. A big comeback to erase a 24-point deficit, and they lose in overtime, which I was not expecting. When they got to overtime, I figured they got this. This is over. And that what a typical loss for the Pacers, too, right? They get this big lead, and now here come the Celtics. They crush their dreams at home in Indy, I mean, and now here they come. They're just going to have an easy time in overtime, and they didn't. They end up losing in overtime, first loss of the year. They're still on pace to win a lot of games this season, so I'm not exactly losing it over here or even particularly worried, but not a good game for Jaylen Brown, not a good game shooting in general. And early on, the only thing I could really point to as a potential issue on this team is the defense. The defense doesn't look the same. It looks a little bit different, looks a little softer, looks a little more forgiving. No Porzingis in the middle, which I don't know. I mean, we might not see much of him this year anyway, but that's it. I mean, it's not, so far anyway, it's not the same kind of team defensively.
I also think defense is the hardest thing to muster up when you are human nature sets in and you know you're going to be really good and you know you're going to win a lot of games and you know you can probably cruise toward the postseason and, hell, you might be able to cruise toward the number one seed. I don't even know as things play out because you're going to get a key player back in December in Porzingis. But I think this is a good thing in reality for those of us
for them to lose.
Yeah, for those of us that are truly hoping for historic achievements this year, greatest Celtics team, wins record, undefeated at home, whatever. Wiggy's 82-0 is dead.
Yep.
That's the only thing that's been removed from the possibilities. But everything
you didn't put anything down on 82-0, did you?
I did not.
No, okay.
Probably could get some good juice on that.
You learned your 0-17 lesson.
No, yeah, kind of, but not really. I felt better about 0-17 than I would have felt about 82-0.
Fair.
Because it's easier to lose than it is to win.
That's true.
But yeah, last night I thought, you know, it was an off night shooting-wise. There's no doubt about that. Right till the very end. I believe that's going to be off full was Jaylen Brown's last shot. I mean, that thing was hideous. And then you kind of got punked a little bit with the off-the-back thing to come in and didn't really love how the game ended from a visual perspective from a Celtics fan. But no, they're a scrappy team, and they scrapped with you in the postseason, and I think they'll scrap with you every time they play you. And the Celtics' defense is definitely energy, effort, and attitude might be lacking a little bit. I was listening to the game driving home, and that was sort of the criticism on the radio from Max was like, yeah, you know, they're kind of scuffling a little bit defensively here. Not a lot of defense being played. But I also don't know I know we talk about them defensively. I think we overrate them defensively, quite honestly.
I agree with that to an extent. I think last year they had great numbers. I mean, their analytics and all that were good. I don't think it was wrong to say that they were a great defensive team, but just to assume that that's going to naturally carry over and no one's going to take a step back or that the intensity is going to be the same or any of that other stuff, which, by the way, I somewhat attribute to Joe Mazzulla. You want to keep your team intense and
you want to fire him too?
I didn't say fire him. I'm just saying he needs to get this team back playing intense defense again. That's his job.
Well, and that's hard to do when you know because that is all.
Fire. What did I say? Fire him.
Well, we did the last segment on firing a Boston coach. I was just rolling from one segment to the next.
Well,
I don't know what
that Boston
here.
Coach is 500. This guy just lost his first game, so it's a little different. But yeah.
Plus, this coach is coming off a title.
That
guy gags in the postseason.
It's another important factor to consider, I would say, yes.
To the discussion. because I do think when they're on, they can shut down almost anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They can play almost anyone. Like, you see those times where shot clock violations come, where it's just like passing around and the Celtics shut you down. But that's hard to do 82 nights a year, 48 minutes, just keep bringing that energy. Especially you're off to a good start, you're 4-0. That's why I think this could be a sneaky good, just a little bit of a wake-up call. Because you didn't embarrass yourself. Because I don't want the embarrassment wake-up call, just the, okay, there's teams out there that are going to challenge us.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll challenge us and we'll win. Sometimes they'll challenge us, we'll lose. This one could have been either or, right? You came right down to there was no saying you couldn't win this basketball game once you send it to overtime. But I do think this, from a coaching perspective, I think this was a perfect time for a perfect wake-up call to maybe catapult you so that you look back and now you're like, 12-1 or something in a couple weeks.
And there were some things that I liked in this game. The comeback in the fourth quarter, certainly Nemus Keita and the tremendous job he did on the glass. He was awesome on the offensive and defensive glass, I thought. Tillman, I thought, played pretty well. They did wait a while to get Tatum back in the game. I think Mazzulla waited to like the 5-minute mark before he put Tatum back in, which I was... a little surprised by. They were still down 14 at the time. Like that was a bit of a long time to wait. I thought he had kind of waved the white flag at that point. You know, if he's still on the bench, not waved the white flag, but just decided, all right, we're going to ride or die with these backups here. We're not going to go back to Tatum. We're not going to go back to Derek White, I think was the other one who subbed in at the 5-minute mark. I was looking at that and thinking, is he just going to ride this out with the backups? And I was a little bit surprised to see those guys even go in. But they did. And listen, it ended up being a much more exciting finish than it would have been otherwise. 617-779-7937. Ralph is in Cranston with a thought on that very thing. Go ahead, Ralph.
Absolutely. I'm looking at him and say, is he just giving up or is he just going to try to win this with reserves? He waited way too long to bring Tatum and White back in. Now, I didn't know. I put it on almost just in the fourth quarter. I didn't know Holiday was hurt or whatever he was, but I knew he wasn't playing at that time. But, you know, this is what's going to separate Tatum where he wants to be from where he is, where he wants to be. Now, it's going to be hard to win an MVP title anyway because he's got so many guys that are going to score. His stats aren't going to be humongous. But those are the kind of games last night, if he wants to be this upper echelon superstar that he we know he wants to be, he's got to win those games. He's got to get that ball. And for a while, he was doing it. He's got to get that ball. He's got to score. He's got to make it happen like Bird did, like Magic did, like LeBron did. That's what he has to do. So I'm saying it last night. Now take this game over and win it. Show us that you're that upper echelon. That's what he's going to have to do to really go to, a status where he really wants to be. You know, it's a bad game for them. You know, I thought it was going to be a good loss, but it's a bad game because they should have won it.
Yeah, they should have. And listen, Tatum had 5 points in the last 30 seconds. That three he hit was a dagger. That was a great shot. And the reaction of the Indiana bench was even better at the 14-second mark after Halliburton. So Tatum hits the free throws. He gets fouled by Halliburton. Makes both free throws. Halliburton scores on the other end. And then with 14 seconds left, he just drills one on a nice step back from Peyton Pritchard. Halliburton had a chance at the end. He missed the three, and then they go into overtime, which I thought that momentum was going to carry him right to the victory. But it didn't. You know, listen.
Siakam said no.
Siakam said no.
He was good.
He was bombing threes in that game.
And that last one, which was weird because he was hitting threes, it was almost like Derek White was like a half a step slow to get there. Almost like he didn't think he was going to shoot it or didn't. Take it. I don't know. There was a weird vibe there on his closeout on that three.
He probably thought this guy is 6'10", shooting threes here or whatever.
He's shooting threes and he's hitting threes.
Yeah, he's hitting them right in his face. And that was six on the night, I want to say. He had like five or six threes. And this is the Pacers team, by the way. in the regular season last year, gave the Celtics a ton of problems. They beat them in the in-season tournament. They had another win over them. They are a high-scoring, fast-paced team that in the regular season, when you can just go out there and run and gun, the Celtics have a hard time keeping up with. You get to the playoffs and you have to play more of a half-court game. They're not as well equipped to do that. And even still, they, you said it. I mean, that was a very, very close sweep, I would say.
I feel like going back a couple years, these Celtics-Pacers games almost always are competitive, come down to the wire. It feels like they've had overtime games a number of times,
yep,
and like tight games and swings. That's why I don't, they're a team, and maybe that's why I overrate them, quite honestly. Maybe they play the Celtics better than they play the rest of the NBA, and I kind of overrate them based on watching them play the Celtics. But I think they're a scrappy team. Like, don't get me wrong, you should never lose to that team in a seven-game series.
No.
Absolutely should
and
never lose to them.
And they probably never would. But yeah.
No, I don't think they would either. Yeah. And there is, as I mentioned earlier, the philosophical sort of difference. They're not a modern, just going to shoot a boatload of threes kind of team like the Celtics are. And but, again, that works nice on a night where Jaylen Brown goes 1 of 11. If you don't have the poor shooting night from the Celtics, I don't know that your style really matters. They outscore you.
Yep, absolutely. They got the Hornets coming up tomorrow. They have the Hornets again the day after that. They finish off this road trip in Atlanta against the Hawks. They should win all three of those games. And then on Wednesday, the 6th, as we're learning who our new president is, wink, it's going to be the return of Steve Kerr to TD Garden as the big motivator of this season to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will be in the building. I can't imagine what kind of reaction Steve Kerr is going to get. It's going to be worse than Kyrie, I think. People are going to go hammer time on Steve Kerr.
I don't think it'll be worse than
Kyrie. I think
Kyrie.
It's going to be pretty bad.
Kyrie called out the people in the stands as much as he did any, like the whole city of Boston. This is, you're going to support Tatum and Brown, but it's not personal to you. It's supporting your guys.
I think the fans will take it personally. I think they're going to take
it personally. Oh, I think he's going to get a astounding boo.
And like, I don't think anyone, I'm not saying people are going to throw stuff at him or anything
No.
I have a feeling you're going to hear bleep you Kerr chants and stuff like that. Like, it's
probably
gonna be, it's maybe not worse than Kyrie. It's gonna be similar to Kyrie.
And you also don't have the opportunities. Like, every time Kyrie touched the ball was a new ignition,
right,
of that.
Every time he calls a timeout, you're,
I mean,
just,
I guess, I don't know. Yeah. Like, he's never the focal point, really. So I don't know if you can kind of do it more than once or twice.
No, but I think they are going to try and run up that score. And I'm a little concerned about that, by the way. I think that's going to be the first time we'll look at the Celtics team and say, okay, can you keep it within yourself here? If you're 1 for 11, Jaylen Brown, but you're upset that you didn't get put on the team, are you going to just keep chucking or are you going to defer? Same with you, Jason Tatum. If it's not your night, and in the latest two games, Tatum did not have a good game against Milwaukee, and Brown didn't have a good game last night. And they were able to still, I think, and they didn't win last night, but despite Brown's bad shooting, they were able to run their offense. Both of those guys out there looking for blood, trying to make a statement there against Steve Kerr or whatever, I could see that going a little sideways.
Sure.
I could see that going left.
But they've also proven, both of them over the years, sometimes when they have a bee in their bonnet, they end up with like 14 points in the first quarter.
True.
Like, they've both shown the ability to channel that towards putting the ball in the basket.
Yep, they certainly have. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. Here is Stiz with what's trending. When we come back, the World Series over. Yankees eliminated. Mookie Betts' world, and we're all just living in it. That's coming up after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending this hour on WEEI and WEEI.com. Patriots, they're back on the practice field today as they continue to get ready for their Week 9 game against the Titans on the road. This Sunday, kickoff at 1 p.m. 13 players were limited yesterday during practice, including quarterback Drake May, who still remains on the concussion protocol. We spoke with Tommy Curran just a few minutes ago. Here's what he had to say on Drake May's return.
Just based upon, Christian, the way he's trending, I would kind of expect him to play using Brock Purdy, who suffered a concussion earlier this year, kind of as a guide. He sustained it on a Monday night, and I think he was ready to go on a Sunday, having been cleared on a Saturday.
Let's go. Celtics suffered their first loss of the season last night. They lost to the Pacers 135-132 in Indiana. The Jays combined for 62 points. Tatum put up 37, Brown 25, but it just wasn't enough. Celtics will remain on the road for back-to-back games against the Hornets. First game tomorrow night, tip-off at 7 p.m. from the Spectrum Center. The Bruins, they're in Carolina tonight. They'll be taking on the Hurricanes. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from the Lenovo Center. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. Marlins. And the Dodgers clinched their eighth title in franchise history after they beat the Yankees 7-6 in the Bronx last night. Dodgers pitcher Daniel Hudson announced his retirement just minutes after the game, saying, quote, "The only reason I came back was to go out on top." I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. More afternoon show with Arkan and Hart coming up.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Last night, bang! There's another Giancarlo Stanton. Who needs me though? Aaron Boone had the call. Opposite field home run. Open up the third. Cracked in the air to deep center field. Judge retreats. He'll make the grab, but the Dodgers have come all the way back and taken the lead in game five.
And that was the last lead they would have. The Los Angeles Dodgers, winners of the Fall Classic, knocking off the Yankees in five games. Some pretty exciting games. That walk-off grand slam in the first, that was great. That was a good game last night. The game the Yankees won, I thought, was a pretty good game, too. In general, it wasn't a terrible World Series.
No.
But the Yankees did kind of get gentlemen swept. I mean, you know, what are you going to say?
For a lopsided World Series, it was kind of entertaining.
Yeah, there were some entertaining moments. It was an entertaining postseason in general.
And it also helps when Judge and Stanton are hitting home runs.
Yeah.
And you kind of have highlight-type great players stepping up to the moment a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, listen, between when you have one side, and this is the losing side, the side getting kind of boat raced in the series, where the middle of their order is Soto, Judge, Chisholm, Stanton, Rizzo, Volpe, and that's the team that got their ass kicked? It's a good series. I mean, that's an entertaining product. That's a good product.
Also tells you how far you are away.
It really does. Does it not? I mean, does that tell you?
Because that's like old school Sox teams where you had like Bill Miller winning the batting title.
Batting eighth, going against the Yankees with A-Rod and Giambi and Sheffield and all those guys. It's the same thing.
Like, that's the world you used to be in, and now you're not really in.
Nope, you're not part of that anymore. And over on the other side, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, Muncy, Kike, Will Smith, Gavin Lux. I mean, this is...
Did you see the Will Smith thing?
What Will Smith thing?
Five straight World Series winners have Will Smith.
Really?
He's two of them, obviously.
He's right, and there's another Will Smith.
And then there's a relief pitcher that's been on a couple of them, I believe.
Was he on the Rangers last year? He must have been, right?
It's five straight World Series. You need a Will Smith on your team, which brings us full circle to our earlier discussion about whether Will Smith is the best rapper turned art.
Rapper turned actor. Yeah, right. Sure. That's very.
I got a suggestion of LL Cool J. Is he in the conversation?
LL Cool J, we mentioned him. LL Cool J is
we focused on the Ices, but LL also.
I'd say LL was, I don't know. I don't know how much great of an actor he is.
Hey, Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
Or he fights a shark.
He's also, isn't he in...
I thought he just had a song on Deep Blue Sea. He was in Deep Blue Sea?
I think he was in it, yeah.
Isn't he in Jumanji?
I don't know.
LL Cool J was in Jumanji?
And he's on that NCIS LA show.
He's on one of the NCIS.
I know he's on one of the NCIS shows.
Wait, you don't like it? You love Law & Order, SVU, whatever.
No, I don't. I don't even watch that show, but I like Ice-T on that show.
Speaking of Halloween, LL Cool J is in Halloween H2O.
Right, I
he
knew that.
He plays a security guard.
I knew he was in that.
Is in another one. He kills Michael Myers.
Buster Rhymes killed Michael Myers?
Halloween Resurrection.
Giving it away?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
15 years ago.
And my head is like a shark fin. Remember that song? It's like, cool. Is this for the shark movie by chance that you're making? Is that had something to do with that?
Didn't LL Cool J fight the snake too in Anaconda?
That was Ice Cube.
That was Ice Cube, yeah.
Yeah.
They got snakes out here this
really
big.
We're really coming full circle back to Ice Cube.
They got snakes out here this big was a great line.
That's
Really an all-time in cinema history, I would say. It's got to be right up there.
860. Come on, guys. Epic choke job. Yeah, we said that earlier. I said absolutely. This was not a comeback by the Dodgers. This was a gag job by the Yankees.
100%. And LL Cool J was in Deep Blue Sea along with having the hit song. The bluest, my head is like a shark's fin. LL Cool J was Sherman the Preacher. And I think didn't he stab a shark in the eye with his crucifix or something?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he did? Yeah, that was pretty cool. It was an extreme gag job by the Yankees, of course. Even if you're down 3-1, you have a 5-0 lead in that game. 5 unearned runs in one inning? Oh, my God. That couldn't have possibly been better. I was watching that inning. I almost wanted to just take my clothes off. Turn the pictures around, you know, put a little Sade on the old speaker and have some fun because that was beautiful.
Where was your family? Yankees,
they were upstairs. Watching the Yankees melt down like that. Oh, that I felt that in my plums. That was beautiful. That was a wonderful inning. I don't know. You can call it a choke job if you want. I call it pornography.
Do you like Aaron Judge?
Yes.
Because I was a little torn on that.
I like Aaron Judge.
So, like,
I'd take him on the Red Sox any day.
Oh, 1,000 times out of 1,000. But I'm just saying there's other people that I would rather have make an error like that, an embarrassing error. He wouldn't be at the top of my list.
Oh, right, because you like him. I see what you mean.
Yeah, I kind of like him, and you kind of feel, but like, I mean, that's history. Mm-hmm. You're one of the greatest players of all time, but don't tell me you're not going to remember that for the rest of your life.
For sure.
In the World Series, a routine play you made look like a little leaguer. I guess even I didn't have the audio on. I must not have been listening. Were they making excuses for him, like he lost it in the lights or something?
At first, yes. At first, I feel like they were saying, "Oh yeah, he must have lost that one in the lights." Just trying to come up with something. You know how they do that sometimes. The World Series. You don't want to make it look like some guy just made some bonehead error.
Yeah, but I have eyes. I saw that he just made a bonehead error.
He did just make.
Don't
a bonehead
lie to
error.
Me.
That's all that.
Tell
happened.
Me it's raining.
It was like in the other game when Sterling starts going on and on about, "Oh, I thought he got all of that one, Susan," and Susan's like, maybe the flag's blowing in. It's the worst impression
ever. Make excuses.
Yeah, making up excuses for Sterling, who clearly can't see and doesn't know what he's looking at. But
what'd you think of his final call we played earlier? When they're jumping up and down, you know something good happened or whatever.
That was brutal. Do we have that? Can we hear Sterling's final call of the World Series? This was, I mean, my goodness. Let's just listen to this.
Breaking ball, cut on a miss, strike 3, ball game over, World Series
over.
Dodgers win. Los Angeles is the new champion, and they're going nuts on the field. I don't blame them. When you see them jump around like this, boy, there's reason for it. They deserve it. They erased a 5-0 lead tonight.
Got them there.
And the Dodgers win the ball game by the score of 7-6.
Win the ball game and score 7-6. And when you're jumping around, it's good jumping over there.
Hey, Jackson, you want to impart your wisdom on the audience as to who should have called the game?
Well, yeah, I made a bonehead move earlier. I said that Vin Scully should have probably been, brought in there to, you know, kind of cap off the season. But I was unaware that he's no longer with us.
Vin Scully passed away 2 years ago, I want to say?
2 years ago. Yeah,
won't be coming down for breakfast.
No, he won't.
I thought he retired from baseball, not
he retired
life.
From
he
Earth.
Did retire from baseball. that's true. I remember one of the few games I worked on back in my first stint here at WEEI, I believe. Yeah, it must have been. It was like 2017 or something around then. The Red Sox played the Dodgers, and Joe Castiglione and Vin Scully, before the game, just sat in the booth and just chatted. And just had like a little, you know, they talked about being longtime broadcasters and how the game's changed and stuff like that. It was great. It was really, really good. Actually, I talked to Joe about that at the Jimmy Fund. I was like, do you remember that? He's like, yeah, I remember that. And I just remember I was working on it. That was my Joe Castiglione impression.
You went through it quick. You got in and out.
And it was just working on that. I remember thinking about it being like, man, that is a lot of data up there between those two guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's a Absolutely. Lot of baseball knowledge and info and sort of wisdom being imparted there.
And along those lines, as soon as Jackson said it, I kind of thought of, if they really wanted to, with those guys that have done baseball for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, with the way AI works, couldn't they have them call the games AI style?
Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby.
I mean, he's literally said everything into a microphone. So the words are there somewhere if some computer wanted to create Joe Castiglione doing games for the next 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me.
What was that from?
Greg used to have Joe just read rap lyrics. And so we just have folders of Joe, you know, saying some of the, you know, most iconic rap lines.
That's pretty. That's what's that? Drake.
That was Drake. Yeah, don't pull up at 6 a.m.
God's plan. Yeah, that's, yeah. I don't know, that's fine. Drake. Tough summer for him. tougher summer. The Red Sox, White Sox, or Drake? Who had a tougher summer? The White Sox or Drake?
Probably Drake.
Probably Drake. Drake.
Yeah,
he got mollywopped.
Yeah, absolutely.
The White Sox lost 125 games. Like they had the worst season ever.
But it happens. You got a new season coming. Like, yeah, that'll go away.
And you knew that was going to happen in June already. They were so historically bad, and I think they kind of embraced it. But Drake may. I mean, just Drake.
Not Drake, man.
Drake rapper. You know, I mean, and he's like used to getting embarrassed.
Yeah, he had a tough summer.
And now when Kendrick disses him at the Super Bowl halftime in front of the whole world.
I know, that's going to be tough.
Sings that line where it's calling him
a minor.
Yeah, that's not going
to
be great.
That's going to be tough for him if he does that song at the Super Bowl. And he has to do that song at the Super Bowl,
yeah,
right?
That's the whole reason.
You can't, it's catapulted him into this spot. You can't go to the Super Bowl and then not do that song.
I was wondering, though, that is a question I have. I wonder if he will.
He's got to.
You would think.
At least a verse or two. Yeah, maybe not the whole thing. It's a long song.
Yeah.
But he's got to do a little bit.
That's what they usually do is like a compilation, right?
Right.
They usually bang through a bunch of songs.
I remember when the Patriots beat the Rams, that Super Bowl was in Atlanta, and they had Big Boy come out in the very beginning, and he did like two bars of Kryptonite.
Yeah.
And then that was it, and then they had Adam Levine come out for the rest of it. I was like, no. Back to Outkast. Come on, bring him back out. And that was it. They're like, no. You can't do any more songs. And the thing is, Outkast has a ton of family-friendly songs.
Absolutely,
if they ever wanted to do a halftime show, they could do Hey Ya.
Hey Ya.
They could do Rosa Parks. They could do all those songs. Like that, that would be a very family-friendly.
I feel like a lot of their songs are.
Yeah.
There might be occasional
big hits,
something.
You know?
But yeah, they have huge hits that are very PG.
Yeah, I'm surprised Kendrick Lamar got a halftime before Outkast did. I'm surprised that happened. I thought Outkast would get one.
Is Outkast still together?
Not really, no.
That's
but they might come back together for the Super Bowl, you know?
Andre just put out an album.
A flute music.
Yeah, he only plays the flute.
Yeah.
What?
Andre 3000 is a flautist now.
Really?
Yeah.
This is not like a...
No, it's not a joke.
Saturday Night Live.
He's touring. He's touring around playing the flute now.
And the album, you got to look up the album name. It's the longest album name maybe of all time.
Yeah, and then each song's name title is like crazy.
Like 24 words or
something. He's kind of off the rails.
Yeah, he's definitely off the rails.
It's poetic.
He's not rapping anymore, which I bummed out by. But also, you know, these guys turn 50 and they're still rapping, and I just feel like there's not a lot of guys who pull that off very well.
How many guys pull off going from rapper to flute guy?
Well, he's the first one, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Jesus.
617-779-7937. Steve is in Fall River. He has a thought on Drake May. Hi, Steve.
Oh, I just have to chime in on the guy from Cranston.
Oh, I thought you were going to comment on Outkast being in the Super Bowl or
no?
No,
ahead, I have to say something. Where is Jason Tatum? He's not in the upper echelon of the NBA. He just thinks he is. Really? He's in the upper echelon of the NBA.
He definitely is. Yeah. I think we all agree with that.
Okay. He thinks he's there. He's got still more to do. No, he's there.
Well, I don't think.
Do
you think Tatum's as good as he thinks he is, Steve?
It doesn't matter if he thinks he's the great. No, he said he's one of the greatest players on earth.
Humbly, I'm one of the best players of all time. He says, right?
Is he?
Okay, and I say humbly, I'm the greatest talk show caller in Boston sports.
And you're both wrong.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
And if there was, think about it, and even worse than Jason Tatum, and if there was a Hall of Fame for this place, it would name it after me. The Steve from Fall River Sports College from New England Hall of Fame.
I don't know. Frank from Gloucester, it might be a memorial wing for him at least, yeah.
Frank from Gloucester and the other guy from the Cape.
Butchie from the Cape, of course.
There's a rule. If your time on the radio is four times longer than you haven't been on the radio, in other words, you've been gone.
And Steve, I think those guys are not. Both of those guys are no longer with us. So you're the last remaining, old timey caller.
You have to have the committee.
He's just talking. Just going.
Elders committee.
Does he
even
know he's on?
No, you may not. All right, 617-779-7937.
You were saying something to him, and he's just like babbling away in the background,
he's talking away. I was trying to pay him a compliment.
How old is he?
Steve from Fall River.
Yeah,
I guess at least 100. He's got to be 100, right? At least triple digits.
Great story.
He's got to be up there.
Yeah, that was.
If he's anything less than 78, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I was going to say late '70s,
early 80s. Late '70s is where I'd peg Stephen Fowler, but I have no idea.
He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, he does.
Which is a good thing.
A lot of belief in himself, too. A lot of self-confidence.
Well, you got to have that.
You do.
I asked him, like I asked Jacoby Brissett, if he was one of the top 32 quarterbacks, I'm sure Steve would think so, too.
Steve would definitely say so. He'd say, yes, I am. Just like Jacoby Brissett said it to you. His call screen had nothing to do with any of that stuff he was talking about. It was something about Drake May.
It rarely does,
which is
does,
why
right?
I wanted to pivot over to what he was talking about. Drake May playing or not playing. Maybe that's what he wanted to say at the end, but he'd already been on for a minute and a half. Either way, Drake May playing or not playing, what? What do you
I got to check
for?
A poll, because Fitzy actually posted a poll, and I wanted
on whether he should play or not.
If it were, if he's cleared to play, would you play him? And I wanted to see what the actual results were.
Let's take a look at that, because I'm interested in seeing that, too. I'm still leaning towards no. I'm still leaning towards...
Why?
Don't,
oh, my God, we're back to the same debate, like when it was Jacoby. Should we put May in? Should we start May?
Yeah, but it's a different version now.
It's a different version of this, I would say.
Okay.
This is a little closer. This is closer than who would win in a fight poll, that's for sure.
This is 700 votes on Fitzy's Twitter account. So remember that. I always like to tell people it's Fitzy's Twitter account. So these are you people. These are the homers of all homers.
Yep.
The most homerist people that you can find, follow Fitzy. And they have 65% of the votes say start him, it's football, which is what I voted, and 35% sit him, be cautious. I don't see the point. Like, I think Tom feels the same way. Like, if the doctors, if he goes to your trainer, then he goes to your doctor, then he goes to the independent neurologist, and they all sign off, check off, I don't even know how
and
they
say,
do it.
Say, yeah, he's fine to go, then that's fine. Then
put
he
him
should
out
be
there.
In uniform, and he can be the backup, and if something happens to Brissett, he can go in. He didn't practice all week.
We knew he has practiced for 30 minutes
30
yesterday.
Minutes.
I'm guessing today maybe it was 45 or something. I got to feel like there's some sort of ramp up in stage four or whatever he's crossed over into. He's practiced enough. He's the starting quarterback of your football team, and you're going to a winnable game against Mason Rudolph, another bad football
team. Who cares? It's a winnable game.
Because they want to win. Don't listen to me. Stop listening to me so much. They want to win. Did you hear Tom Curran? They got to start figuring out what they want to be, not about a foundation.
Right, they have to figure out if they want to win or not.
Well,
is what
they
whenever it's a question, that means it's not guaranteed, is what
well,
I
Well, it isn't guaranteed.
Right.
But and the other factor is... they're just more fun when he plays.
That's true.
Way more fun.
More eyeballs,
those
that's for sure.
Those two games and one... well, there's no eyeballs this week. I just saw the map. I think Ben Volen put it out of, like, this game's pretty buried in terms of most of the nation will have no idea what's going on between Tennessee and New England. If you don't live in Tennessee and New England, you're not watching this game at all.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's probably true. What the hell do you care? unless you're another team fighting for the number one overall pick. You know, maybe Carolina cares, or the Jets care, or, you know, one of those teams.
Plus,
care.
Earmuffs, Jacoby Brissett. If you're listening, real quick, turn your radio down. Okay, 3, 2. It's a battle of two backup quarterbacks if he starts. Because Mason Rudolph versus Jacoby Brissett is not two starting quarterbacks in the National Football League that anybody wants to see. I'd much rather see Will Levis versus Drake May. Two young guns. Especially that if you're a Patriots fan, that helps you. Because you got Will Levis throwing you the ball, what, minimum 2 to 3 times in a game? He's going to turn the ball over. That's what he does. He's a human turnover machine. So you should be hoping to see the young guns.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that you're probably right. I think that May's probably going to play. I don't think that this is the type of thing. And early on in the season, you remember, I wasn't one of those people saying, don't play him. He's going to get killed out there. The offensive line's not good enough, whatever. All that stuff was... I thought being Nana, you know, you can't have him out there. It's
being
football.
What?
Being a Nana.
Oh,
you know, you can't put him out there. It's football. I understand that it's football, but this is also a head injury. And I think that that changes things a little bit. That does change for me anyway. It changes things up a little bit, not just in terms of who's going to be the starter, but in terms of who's getting the reps in practice. How much is he allowed to participate? If he's only going a third of the way one day and only half this day, it seems to me like that's a pretty easy excuse to say, all right, we're going to be a little cautious here. He hasn't practiced as much as we'd like him to. It's still a rookie going through his progressions as a young quarterback, and so we're gonna stick with Brissett. And if he needs to go in, he can go in off the bench, but we're going to start Brissett.
Does this argument sway you? So when Brissett started, the wide receivers were a mess, mostly about he doesn't see me when I'm open, he never gets me the ball. When Drake May started... well, the wide receivers were still a mess, but it was mostly drops, right? He sees them when they're open, and he throws them the ball. They just don't catch it often enough. Would it be a step backwards to have to continue to play with Jacoby Brissett? Is the advancement of the wide receiver room, which I think we all think is secondary to Drake May, is probably the most important part of the second half of the season? Figuring out, I think Curran said something like, do you have to totally reset it again at the wide receiver room after this year? Figuring out if any of those guys are staying? Can't you figure that out easier if it's working with Drake May as opposed to Jacoby Brissett?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, so play Drake May.
Yeah. I mean, if that's something you need to figure out by week 9, or if it's so urgent that you need to know this right now, I'd say fine. But I also sort of think you know what you got here with this wide receiver group anyway. Chris is on the Cape before the break. Chris.
Negative.
Yeah, hey guys. Just as an aside, just a little information on Steve from Fall River.
Oh no,
I actually know him. Okay. I actually know him personally.
I'm sorry to hear that, Chris.
He's a very, very affluent businessman. Oh. He owns a very large produce company in Fall River.
Okay.
He's not even 70 yet. And oh, wow. When I say
not even 70,
when I say the guy, when I say he comes across a totally different person on, it's all shtick when he calls you guys.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you haven't figured that out,
deep down he's a teddy bear, is what you're saying.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. He does a lot for the community. He really is a solid, solid salt of the earth guy.
Does he want to sponsor the show?
Yeah, I know. We got openings here. We can. It's a brand new show. We got a lot of.
I'll pimp produce.
Yeah. I cook a lot of chicken.
The best melons in the business.
That's right,
Steve in Fall River.
He's a great guy. He really is.
All right.
So just as an aside, now you know a little bit more about the great Steve from Fall River.
Are you related to him, Chris? Be honest.
No. I've just done business with him over the years.
Well, you sound like you're related to him. Sound like he put you up to that.
The myth, the legend.
I feel kind of bad now ripping him if he's like this great guy. Plus,
affluent.
I don't feel bad at all.
Affluent.
I don't feel bad
No, you
at
didn't
all.
Rip him. He knows what he's getting into.
I'm still reeling.
Plus, he's
from
kind
money.
Of an annoying DB on the radio.
Right.
But he's fun. You know, he calls every... Hey, you know what? And he's loyal.
He's
he
loyal?
He calls every show. He's you know, and you got to give him to that.
And he creates a reaction.
Yeah.
When Steve calls, you will react. Somehow, some way, there will be a reaction, and I watch the reaction tick off on the Twitch chat. I watch it tick off on the text line.
Reaction, people change the channel.
I didn't say it's always good. I just said there's an automatic. Not all callers create reactions.
That's
he creates reactions.
Yes, he does. 617-779-7937. It's Halloween today, and no one has dominated Halloween quite like Bill Belichick. That's next.
I'm not into celebrating something just to celebrate it, but like, what exactly? I don't know exactly what we're celebrating there. Just like dress up to dress up. I don't know.
So you're not a big dress up guy.
I'm not a big dress up guy. I've always been like anti dress code, anti, like if somebody tells me I gotta wear something, I don't want to wear that. That's just always how I've been.
So that was Joe Burrow, who doesn't quite understand the concept of Halloween, I guess. Doesn't
at
really
all.
See what the point of it is.
Why are we dressing up?
That was like borderline, I don't want to offend anybody, but that's borderline like Jehovah's Witness, how they talk about Halloween. Like, I don't understand.
That's how Andy Hart talked about Halloween when he got in today.
Really?
Yes.
I don't really get it. I don't really love it. I've never loved it.
You never liked Halloween?
Not really. I mean,
you didn't
I
like Halloween
kid,
in college?
So I liked candy. Nope.
Halloween in college was the best time in Colorado, Boulder.
I mean, only thing that's good about it when you're in the late teens, early 20s is what we talked about earlier. Every costume for a girl is a reason to look slutty.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's the only positive.
Yes.
But
that was a big factor for me.
But you don't even need that now.
What do you mean?
You go out? I mean,
I don't go out anymore. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, teenage girls dress like that all the time now.
Oh, do they?
They dress pretty...
I'm out of the loop.
Revealing.
Okay.
Been some arguments in my household looking for dresses for whatever they call that. I don't know, some dance that's coming
for the
up.
Semi-formal.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are there any that don't make you look that word?
Interesting. I didn't know that.
That's
know
the that's style good. Now, and I get yelled at. That's the style. That's what my wife says. Well, that's the style, like to make everything look
have everything
trampy.
Out there. Like, everything out there popping out. Listen, I don't know what's going on.
It is
all
the
I know
style.
Is, I enjoyed Halloween in college a lot. Halloween in college was the favorite time of year, especially if it was like during the week. So you'd have like the night, and then you'd have the weekend too. Like it was always a good time out in Boulder. But either way, Joe Burrow doesn't understand it, and that's a shame because Macaulay Culkin dressed up as Joe Burrow and looks exactly like him. It's a great
Nailed
costume,
it.
Really.
Almost creepy. Almost
balls on,
like
perfect.
Well, he didn't really have to do anything. He just put on Joe Burrow stuff, and you look at his face, and you're like, holy crap, that looks like Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and it's funny because Macaulay Culkin's like our age.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Burrow's 26 or whatever he is. So
yep. It's also weird that Joe Burrow says he doesn't like to dress up. Wasn't he in, like, Paris doing dress-up crap for fashion? It's the same thing.
He's doing, like, runway modeling? I didn't
Wasn't
know that.
Wasn't he in Paris?
Joe Burrow is doing on the runway? On the catwalk? On the catwalk, yeah. Fashion. I didn't know that. I know Danny Amendola was
doing
that.
Yeah, he did a fashion show.
Well, then he does like to dress up. He's lying. He just doesn't like Halloween.
Halloween dress up.
Right.
Fake dress up. But he did a, yeah.
I don't like celebrating the Devil's Night. Ugh. Is he religious? Is he a religious guy?
I don't know. What does that matter? Seems like it shouldn't matter.
I don't know. I'd say religious people don't like Halloween sometimes, right?
They think it's like demonic.
Yeah, which religious? Satanic. The ones who don't like Satan, Andy.
I don't know, like Catholic?
Some sects of it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
S-E-C-T-S. Sexed.
I didn't know Catholics were against Halloween. It's the Day of the Dead or whatever, right? All out of Mexico and some of that crap. And,
Dios Muerte.
All right. According to the internet, Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists avoid Halloween because of its pagan origins. Others, like Orthodox Jews and Muslims, abstain because it's not part of their religious tradition. So I think Orthodox anything is probably against Halloween, I would imagine. Yeah. If you're Orthodox, whatever. Then Halloween's probably bad. That's how I view Orthodox religions in general.
Now Halloween is you get dressed up and you look for candy, or you get dressed up and you go to a party and drink, depending on your age. Like, it's either candy, booze, and costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has nothing to do with anything else.
It's true. It has nothing to do with that. And we say all this to say that Bill Belichick has dominated this Halloween more so than more than Macaulay Culkin and Joe Burrow, more than anybody else. Bill Belichick owns this Halloween in a very real way, not only because of Linda Holiday and her Kill Bill costume, which was tremendous, not because of Jordan Hudson?
Yep.
His current girlfriend and her Bill Belichick costume.
Terrible.
Which was not a great costume, but it was nice to look at. And then there was this today on the show he's on with Ryan Clark, which is NFL...
Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL. I kept wanting to say NFL Sunday, but that's the name of another show. Yes, Inside the NFL with Ryan Clark and Jake Long and Bill Belichick and so forth. Ryan Clark came out dressed as Bill Belichick, but like how, remember the Chappelle show when he was the news reporter? You ever seen that? Do you watch the Chappelle show?
Yeah, yeah.
When the reparations happened, he's like, all right, we go to Rondell, and he'll tell us about
it. It's white face.
It's white. It's basically what it is.
But I couldn't tell what it was for Ryan Clark. Is it rubber? Is it paint?
Yeah, like, was it like a prosthetic?
Yeah, it weirdly didn't
really move. It looked like
really
a prosthetic is what I thought.
There wasn't a lot of emotion, which I know that's Bill Belichick.
That's right, yeah.
But there was a weirdness to it. I also didn't think it really nailed Bill Belichick.
It didn't look exactly like Bill Belichick, but it looked enough like him, and it was funny.
And he
like,
didn't have a hoodie. Really, I don't know why. There you see it on the screen if you're watching on Twitch. It bothered me that he didn't have a hoodie on.
Yeah.
He should have a hoodie, not a crew neck, although he did have one that it's got a BB on it. Our phone number's in the there it is. It's got a BB on it.
You can see it. He kind of looks like you ever see White Chicks?
Yes. Yeah,
it's like White Chicks if it was Bill Belichick. It's like the same kind of look.
But I feel like he kind of looks like a chick.
There's
a little bit of an old grandmother or something.
Yeah, I see that.
You know how like a lot of older women wear their hair short, they go gray. Kind of looks like an older woman.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny. I laughed when I saw it when he came out and started talking like him. And then Belichick comes out with the two-tone suit. Didn't go with the prosthetics in the same way that Ryan Clark did.
Good call by him.
Probably a smart idea on his part.
Probably would have ended Bill Watch.
Anybody who's complaining, oh, what if the roles were reversed? There's a reason why the roles don't get reversed on things like that, folks. Open, crack a book, will you? If you don't understand why it's okay to do it one way and not the other way, just read a book about the subject. Read a book about Al Jolson. Read a book about anything in American history going back before the Civil Rights movie. You could probably get a decent understanding as to why that's probably not a two-way street when it comes to what you can and can't do on Halloween. Just a thought. You know, not to be the big liberal weenie here or anything, but come on. I mean,
MAGA heart don't like.
This is a pretty easy one, I would say. Anyway, so.
Wait, you skipped over the best part.
What did I skip over?
The Ryan Fitzpatrick comment to...
Right.
What's her name again? You just said it.
Jordan Hudson.
Jordan Hudson's costume.
You almost called her Jordan Hussey.
Slip of the tongue. For all you 48-year-old hopeless romantics out there, just think your future person may not even be born yet. Three hearts.
Zing.
Shots fired.
Buzzing. I mean, he's not wrong.
I mean, he's just kind of doing math,
right?
Like, he's just doing math with her age and his age and what's going on. And
yeah, because she's 24, he's 72. So when she was 48, she was not with us yet.
Right.
She was not part of the world yet.
And there were so many replies to his reply that you people, Patriots fans, got all, we owned you. No wonder we owned you over the years. You're a gunslinger without the gun. You never won anything. You're terrible. And I'm like, how is that relevant to this topic?
It's not. It has nothing to do with anything.
You and weirdos.
It is weird how people get offended on behalf of Bill Belichick when people make fun of a 50-year age gap between him and his girlfriend. Come on, that's funny. If you don't think that's funny, I don't understand. Maybe the show's not for you. Maybe sports talk radio in general is not for you. But if you don't think that a 72-year-old guy dating a 23-year-old isn't kind of funny just in general, that, I don't know what to say. That's funny. That's a funny situation.
Yeah, creepy.
Or weird.
I mean, it can be funny, weird, creepy, whatever,
but it's funny. I think it's funny.
But these people were defending it like, shut your mouth. It's fine. It's Belichick. He can do what he wants. And then there were others like, oh, if this girl came after you when you were 70, you wouldn't. And it's like, no, I don't. I would freak out. I would be creeped out. That's just weird to me. But
I don't know. Put that picture up of her in the Belichick costume.
Settle down.
I need to really think about it.
And you got to fast live in his Colorado.
You also got to fast forward 30 years.
Right.
30 years from now. You already can't drink beer.
I can't even drink beer.
What do you
think
you're going to be like in your 70s?
Oh, yeah.
Ready to roll with some cheerleader from Bridgewater State?
Yeah. I would. Hell yeah, dude. And embrace it. Good for Belichick. Good on him, man.
So you're one of those people? You're
hell
a you
yeah.
people?
What am I? What?
You're one of you people.
I'm one of my people.
He's one of the people that doesn't see a problem with it. And listen, it's two consenting adults and letter of the law or whatever.
She's the one that has to go through that nightmare of sleeping with him.
And
you know?
She also was dating like a 60-year-old before she even met Bill. So, I mean, this is.
Who gave her a good review?
These are the guys that she's into.
Was that on Yelp?
No, like
five stars.
Yeah, when they were going, when this first hit the press, he came out and gave a statement to like the Post or something.
Which
was
is
like,
funny.
No, she's a great girl. Like,
she's very wise.
Very wise beyond her years.
Yeah, well, it's hope so.
And by the way, I actually don't think the bed stuff is the weirdest stuff. I think the weirdest stuff is just going out to dinner, like,
with your
friend, all the friends want to get together. And it's like, well, my friends, I got to see if they can get out of the nursing home. Mm-hmm. And your friends got to see if their parents will let them borrow the car. This is weird.
Yeah. Like, although her friends are probably all old, too. I mean, she's like, she likes being around old people.
I guess.
All of her cheerleader friends and then all her old 75-year-old ex-boyfriends.
Anyway, it was a good line by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Leave him alone.
Did you guys see the Shaq-Angel Reese thing?
I did see the Shaq-Angel Reese thing.
Did you think it was creepy?
It was a little creepy, although I don't understand when Shaq suddenly became like a father figure to Angel Reese. When was that? When did that happen? I didn't know that that was a thing. I thought she was just on the podcast. She had just done that show with her butt cheeks out, and he said something about it, and I was like, wait a minute, what? Now he's betraying a relationship that they had. I didn't know what that was about.
That's a stretch, yeah. But he did come off a little creepy.
He came a little creepy.
I'd like to see you in those shorts.
FYI, in my opinion, 99% of men are a little creepy.
Oh yeah.
It comes out in various ways. Mm-hmm. We suppress it. We don't acknowledge it. But we're all kind of creepy.
It's there. Yeah, it's there.
Okay, thank you.
Definitely. I have thoughts on Angel Reese and those shorts that I'm not going to share for that exact reason. 617-779-7937. Quick break. I'm not going to say quick break anymore.
You just did.
I know. I'm not. I'm working on that. That's a
long
thing
break coming.
A big, long, the longest break you ever seen in your life. I've been getting coached on these things. No more of that.
Yeah, well, you're like a Patriot receiver. You don't respond well to coaching.
I'm not. I'm really not.
You keep dropping that.
I got to be coached harder, I guess, like Mac Jones. Anyways, when we return, we'll talk about the trade deadline, what the realistic options are, and who do you want? Who are you looking at the trade deadline? Do you think the Patriots are even going to add it all? It's all coming up next.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.